WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former President Trump tried comedy last night at a Catholic Charities event in New York City.
Trading the rally stage for the comedy spotlight. Former President Trump headlining the New York Archdiocese annual Al Smith fundraising dinner. Glad to be there voluntarily.
These days it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
And ribbing Vice President Harris, who didn't appear in person.
I understand the real reason that she's not here is she's hunting with her running mate, spending a lot of time hunting.
Harris instead spending the day in Wisconsin hunting for votes. Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
The Supreme Court of Texas put a stop to the execution of Robert Roberson for the shaken baby death of his two-year-old daughter in 2002. Critics say the conviction was based on flawed science. The Yonhap News Agency reports South Korea's spy agency finds North Korea will send troops to support Russia's war in Ukraine. This is ABC News. Hyundai recall, the automaker telling owners of nearly 1,600 Nexo hydrogen fuel cell vehicles from the last six model years to park them outside and away from structures. A pressure relief valve can break and cause a hydrogen leak, which can lead to a fire. No reports of fires, and you can still drive the vehicles. Owners to be notified starting December 10th. Dealers will replace the device. Demand for electric vehicles isn't as brisk as it was a few years ago, but still growing.
New data shows electric vehicle registrations are up 18% from a year ago for the month of August. That means EVs now account for 8.6% of the light vehicle market, according to S&P Global. Tesla commands 46% of EV sales, but that number was 51% a year ago. The company's market share is shrinking amid new competition from Chevy, Honda, and Kia. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
And I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Coming soon to the Overture Center, Late Night Catechism.
Some rulers lead by example. Others lead with a ruler.
I am a Roman general. All right, all you village people.
Sit up in your seat, will you please?
Late Night Catechism.
Are you putting on lipstick in my class?
Attendance is mandatory.
I'm wearing 30 pounds of gabardine here, huh?
Come for the laughs.
Don't miss Late Night Catechism at the Overture Center.
Get your tickets today at tickets.overture.org.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Charges are filed against Jesse Vang and Katrina Bauer in the death of Elijah Vu. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LaBrie made the announcement at a news conference Thursday afternoon.
Well, I will not comment further on the details of the case out of respect for the ongoing judicial process. I assure you that we remain committed to working with law enforcement to hold those responsible for his death accountable.
Elijah was the three-year-old boy from Two Rivers who went missing in February and whose body was found last month. A bail hearing for Bauer and Vang will be Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris is blitzing battleground Wisconsin with 2.5 weeks to Election Day. She campaigned in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay Thursday. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are critical to Harris's chances of winning in November. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks preseason ends with a loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Dallas 109-84. Doc Rivers playing a lot of his younger players. What did he think of watching Giannis and Damian Lillard coaching the rookies?
I loved it. I just think we got so many young guys on our team. The way they can be taught right is by obviously the coaches, but really the players. And when we have a group of guys that are invested in our young guys, I think that's going to pay dividends.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers play the Houston Texans Sunday, featuring quarterback C.J. Stroud. The Packers have 17 takeaways this season, the most in the NFL, thanks to new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who says they have a team meeting called The Ball, where all they do is talk about turnovers.
We're talking about it each week. It's not just talk. It's not like hearsay, like, hey, we're going to attack the ball and be good at taking away the ball. We've dedicated a whole meeting to it. When I was in San Francisco with the Niners, Kyle had me do that meeting every Thursday for 2 years.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and still a little breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the upper 60s to near 70. Then by Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World wraps up with a week in review of the lighter side. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Hey, if you're up for a good time on November 2nd, got to watch the way I phrase that after that intro. From 5 to 10 at the Marinette Community Rec Center, they're having blues, brews, and barbecue. We had Sean Katzbeck on last night, who is the marketing director for the Marinette Community Rec Center, who talked about this great event they're doing up there in my hood. And they've got two outstanding blues musicians, live music. That's right. They'll be there playing in person, a brisket cook-off, and some really great beer. And the brisket thing is a competition. Would you judge something like that?
Oh, yes.
Conrad, you're drooling all over the council. Yeah, that sounds fun. Tickets are $17.50, but we're giving some away tonight. So if you text us and tell us you want to go, we've got a couple tickets with your name on it. So let us know about that. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite mob movie? And we've had some of the usuals tonight, but a few that have thought outside the box. Some Like It Hot. I was not ready for that, and I forgot it was a mob movie, to be honest with you. But some great texts coming in so far. Let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your favorite mob movie is. And we will have our in-studio guest, Robert Dennis, will be here in about 15 minutes. And we'll talk about mob movies with Bob. And he is also quite knowledgeable on the mafia. And we'll talk to him about the state of the mob these days in Wisconsin and in general. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Our text line is, Bridget said, I really like Eric's stories. Bridget from the 818. Yeah, Eric had a great story. It was a great backstory, too. I love how he got into kind of the acting part of it. That was interesting. And how he ended up in the Wisconsin Dells. And it's funny because, like, here he is, this guy growing up in California, and you tell him, oh, I'm going to own a popcorn store in the Midwest, in the Wisconsin Dells, and have five kids. Probably had no idea. I love stories like that. From the 608, Untouchables. That's a good one, too. Brian De Palma, Kevin Costner. Great shootout scene at Union Station in downtown Chicago. I can't go into downtown or into Union Station without thinking of that scene and where they shot this and where they shot that. I tend to, whenever I go to Chicago these days, I'm kind of done driving really anywhere if I don't have to. So I take the train. We'll drive to Milwaukee and take the train downtown to Chicago. And it's so much fun landing in Union Station and seeing where they shot some of those great iconic scenes. But The Untouchables is a great mob movie. And the scene where Sean Connery dies is great too, where he's crawling and he's tried to hold on. I think he was holding on to the name. No, or maybe it was an address. But a great scene there as well. So that's a great one. 608, thank you very much. So, okay, it was Norm MacDonald was a stand-up comedian, and he died, I want to say, in 2022, maybe? But Norm was a really good stand-up. I never had the pleasure of meeting him or working with him. I was not a stand-up for that long, just about 10 years or so. But he's a guy I always kind of wish I had worked with. And he's very funny, could be very fun. His act was funny. He could be very funny off the cuff. And we have a clip here that I want to play. 2021 is when Norm MacDonald passed away. But there's a great clip of him that we have from when he was on Conan O'Brien. Courtney Thorne Smith was the other guest, and she was talking about just having done a film with Carrot Top. And Norm couldn't help himself. Carrot Top, of course, the redheaded prop comic who is kind of all over the place. And a heck of a nice guy, as I understand it. Never had the pleasure of working with him either, but I did meet him once. So the movie is called Chairman of the Board, and it was Carrot Top and Courtney Thorne Smith. She's telling Conan about this, and Norm is sitting next to her, and it's kind of a long clip. It's a little over 3 minutes long, but stick with it. The payoff is great.
Well, I want to talk to you about something, because this came up earlier in the show accidentally, because I didn't know what Norm was going to talk about tonight, and it's best sometimes if I don't know. But he mentioned Carrot Top. You are making a movie with Carrot Top, right?
I made a movie with Carrot Top.
Okay. You made a movie with Carrot Top. It's not out yet.
No, it's not out yet.
Can you put the picture up of Carrot Top again just so we can all see him?
She just did.
Oh, there it is again. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. She left Melrose Place to do a movie with Carrot Top?
That's where I'm going, my friend. This begs the question. Now, why a movie with Carrot Top?
Why a movie with Carrot Top?
I mean, no, I don't know much about Carrot Top, you know? I don't know much about him. I'm a little jealous because he's a red-haired comedian, and I felt like maybe you'd do a movie with me first, then move on to Carrot Top, then to Ralph Mouth from Happy Days. You know, sort of the three. There's an order in which you do movies with the redheads. What's he like, first of all?
He's extraordinarily sweet.
Nice guy.
He really is. And mm-hmm. He worked very hard, and he was adorable.
And he worked with a lot of props and stuff, too, right?
Not in the movie.
Oh, in the movie they took his props away?
They took his props away.
That's a bad time to suddenly take away everything you know about comedy. You know, you've been using props now all your life for comedy. Now we're going to take them away when you make your first movie. Was he okay, though, with it? He was cool?
He was great. He did a wonderful job.
Do you have a scene where you and him embrace?
Yeah, lots of making out.
Oh, for God's sake.
Nothing but making out.
All right.
It's like 9.5 weeks, but Carrot Top. We were doing.
Wow! I gotta check out that movie.
Is it called 9.5 seconds? Premature.
We got it.
You know what happened? This is what happened. You know what happened? He said 9.5 seconds, and I'm looking at him because I know there's more. And I wait and wait, and I see the glimmer in the eye, and then bang! I thought you were going to crack, but no. But what's the movie going to be called?
Well, really? I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
She's
in it.
What about my career?
Courtney Thorne Smith, the girl sitting to your left, is in the movie.
I'm going to go see it for Courtney.
How do you scare everybody else away?
No, I love this girl. I would see any movie with this girl in it. She's a beautiful lady. And a talented, nice talk show guest.
Okay. As evidenced by her appearance on our rival show! All right, well, there's this 2-hour season finale of Melrose Place. There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the Board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
That's so great. Norm MacDonald on Conan O'Brien several years ago. And it makes me wonder what happened to Courtney Thorne Smith. She was so likable and fun on every interview I saw her on. She was a good actor. And you just haven't heard much from her recently. So I always wonder what is happening with Courtney Thorne Smith. But that's a great clip. And we have one more Norm clip. This is funny. This is a joke Norm did about the Olympics. It's a much shorter clip. Was this on Conan too? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
This is also on Conan, where Norm is talking about the Olympics. Here's Norm MacDonald again.
I watch every sport, so the Olympics is my favorite thing. And I don't watch them. I like sometimes in the Olympics they have like lame sports, you know, where they're not real sports, you know. Like a lot of times, what they'll do is they'll try to combine two sports together, you know, make up a new sport.
Right.
You know? They're fine sports together, but when they mix them up, they make a god awful mess. You know? And like I saw this one, I remember it was a guy. He like run a 100-yard dash, and then fish. You know the guys.
You know, fish, yeah.
Yeah, he's fishing in a creek.
So that's not a good one. You don't like that.
No, and you know, all the sports, and the great sports, and then the bizarre. Like, you ever see that one where they like walk fast? It's the fast walking. It's just a guy walking fast. It's not like a sport. This guy doesn't get a lot of respect around the Olympic Village, you know, from like the sprinters and stuff, you know. And they're going, hey, Fred, good stroll today there, man. That was a briskest stroll. You smashed the 20-minute mile, I heard. They said it could never be done. But you know what's weird? Is that guy gets a gold medal.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, like the decathlon champ, he gets a gold medal. You know, that's not fair. Like, they shouldn't get the same thing. Like, you get the gold medal, you're 10, you're the world's greatest athlete, you do 10, and then the other guy walks fast? It's like crazy.
They should have another medal.
Yeah, they should
have. That's not right.
He should get, they should give that guy, like, a stick or something. You get a stick, you know?
A nice stick, but a stick.
Nice stick. That's for you, buddy. And then you can do all your great endorsement deals there afterwards.
Oh, that's Norm MacDonald. Great stuff. Mike Desitel on the stream says, if you were a mobster or a made man, what would your mob name be? Well, that's interesting. The Ice Pick. I don't know. I would think of creative ways to kill people. Like, I think I would like the number two pencil. Like, just stab someone to death with a pencil.
The con.
Oh, the con man.
The convoy.
Why? Does he run scams? No, his name's Con.
Convoy, because I always ride in a convoy.
He got his mob name from two morning talk show hosts. Mike continues, Pete Schwabba and Robert Dennis are my two favorite wise guys. Mike is thinking we are wise guys, and we are, but we're the different kind of wise guys. We're not... I don't think Bob is in the mob. What if Bob was really like a mob kingpin and I'm having him in here to talk about the mob and he's seconds away from crushing my skull every time he's in here. And then Mike says, one of my favorite mob movies is A Bronx Tale. Great answer. And that's Conrad's favorite too.
Yes.
That's in my top 10 for sure. And another one I kind of forgot about. Where was that? I just saw that on that list you sent on IMDb. Not The Irishman, A Bronx Tale. Oh, Donnie Brasco kind of slips under the radar sometimes. That's Johnny Depp and Al Pacino. Al Pacino is in most of these mob movies, and he's good at it. That's what he does, in my opinion, better than any of his other acting jobs. So, all right. So you can still get in on our question if you like. What is your favorite mob movie? Let us know on the stream, on the app at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and we'll read your text on the radio. Trying to give some tickets away here, too. If you guys want to go to Blues, Brews, and Barbecue in Marinette on November 2nd, let us know. We got free tickets for you. And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this very quick break with our resident mob expert, Robert Dennis. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wy.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am coming at you with the recommendation that if you have recently lost your job, I am so sorry, and you should apply for unemployment. Look, we all pay taxes for a rainy day, and being unemployed is that day. It doesn't matter if your employer is letting you go because they're downsizing or because they don't like your work, you can submit a claim to your state unemployment office. Now, the only reasons you can't get unemployment is if you quit your job or if you've been fired for like certain kinds of serious misconduct. Now, you could apply the very first day that you are out of work. If you wait, you're not going to get back payments. And after you apply, sometimes your employer will say you're not eligible because they have to pay. In that case, you just appeal the decision. People do this all the time. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tom from New Berlin, he's in the 414. He says, Norm Love. A big Norm McDonald. Unless that's random and he was talking about Norm from Cheers for no other reason. I find that to be kind of funny, actually. But I think he's referring to Norm McDonald. And yeah, very funny. Very funny, Tom. I agree with you and glad you like that. Jim from Appleton says, Angels with Filthy Souls. Pure Camp, the gangster movie, and Home Alone. Yes. I read the first part of that. I was like, why does that sound so familiar? You remember that when he had the, he's like, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yes, yes.
That's great. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, thanks. I don't know what you're thanking me for, Tom, but you're very welcome.
The Norm Love.
It's, just for playing that. Okay. That's what we're doing here, Tom. We're doing here. We're trying to entertain. So glad you liked it. And thanks for listening, buddy. From the 608, take B, I think this she means, or he means me, take me home. For de bruise der hay, to de hood. Sometimes you just get a text and it's like, okay.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. We need a translator for that though, please, 608. So please explain and we will clear the record there, clear the air there. All right. So this is exciting. I had this next gentleman on the show a few months ago. We had a lot of fun talking about the mob and the mafia. And I thought it was high time he came back and joined us again. And he is here tonight in the studio. Bob Dennis is here. He is a mob. Would you say you're a mob expert, Bob, or just a guy with a lot of knowledge? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, here's the deal. Years ago, back when I was still in broadcasting, I was told that an expert was the person who knew how much dynamite to place up the backside of a bull to blow off the horns without irritating the bull. So I am not an expert.
Wow. Where did you go to broadcasting school?
I went to Elkins Institute in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Very nice. You got the voice, too. That doesn't surprise me.
It's on loan. I borrowed it.
That's okay. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming back.
Can I say a couple quick things real quick?
Absolutely.
I just want to thank people who are listening on your Civic-wide media network.
Okay.
Marshall and Gretchen at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids.
Sure.
Tom from Minocqua at WR. I don't know what that letter is. My handwriting is horrible. Ray and Heidi up in Hayward at WBZH, Goody at WCFW in Eau Claire, and Tim in Minneapolis, who is listening online.
Outstanding. That's nice. Thank you all for listening. And would they be listening even if you weren't here?
I would assume so. I would think so.
Either way, it's great to have them. You know. And thank you for helping bring an audience. That's great. That's not the only reason I booked you, though, Bob. I love talking.
I'm not paying. I'm not giving you money.
Conrad, you're supposed to get the money before he put the headphones on. It's the old I can't stress that enough.
It's the old Bob Uecker line about he said he went to play for the Brewers, and his contract was $3,000. And he said his father worked quite a while, but they were able to come up with it.
Oh, it worked out well for him. However that happened. Bob, are you, I wanted to have you here tonight too, because we've been talking a lot about scary movies. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about movies in general, but given that it's Halloween season, I just needed a break, as fun as they are to talk about, and haunted stories and all that kind of stuff. Are you a big fan of Halloween?
I like Halloween and I like the movies, but I like the older movies better.
The older,
I
mean, scary movies?
I'm an old guy, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scary movie?
Anything from basically about 1930 on through into the probably the early 70s.
Okay.
You know, it's just, and I know when I was here last time, I mentioned that my father helped to run a drive-in movie theater in Minneapolis called the Hunter Twin Drive-In. So we saw every scary movie that came out. And they were usually pretty campy and pretty, you know, B-grade quality type movies.
Right.
But it was fun. Yeah.
They didn't have the effects back then. Like now, I can't believe the movies kids are allowed to watch, because it's, some of them look so real. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the movies you're probably talking about, you were probably a little scared, but you knew it was a movie just because of what the technology, where that was at, right?
And years ago when I was still in school, I went to a theater in St. Paul where they were showing the original... I'm not going to be able to come up with the name. Feed Me, Seymour. What's the movie?
Little Shop of Horrors?
Yes, they showed the original one, which was in black and white.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting in the front because it was a huge theater filled with college kids. And the first close-up was of this beautiful blonde lady. And I had a little bit of a libation that night. And as soon as that first close-up came, I screamed at the top of my lungs, and the whole place went nuts. There was popcorn flying. There were candy bars flying. For the rest of the night, it was just nuts. But it was fun.
Did you like the remake with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin?
Yes, I did. I love Rick Moranis.
I do too.
And I know that he took a break in his career because his wife had passed away, and he wanted to spend the time with his family.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why he actually stepped back from acting and has in recent years now begun to do a little bit more. Come back.
The song, is it Amanda Plummer? Who sings Suddenly Seymour? It's such a great song. I love that song. And the movie's just so much fun. I kind of forgot about it until you just mentioned it.
I love that insert of the music. It's like in Beetlejuice where they sing, Day-o.
Yeah.
You know,
have you seen the new Beetlejuice?
I have not.
Okay. I haven't seen it either. I'm kind of behind on the, Conrad has seen.
Yep. I've seen both of them.
And you liked the new one.
I did. It was a fun movie.
All right, because I did see Beetlejuice years ago. Would I be lost if I saw this Beetlejuice?
No, actually, because I watched them out of order.
Okay.
I watched Beetlejuice, because I just saw it. I was bored.
Wow.
Because it's on the, now you can watch it on Prime, but you have to pay for it, you know? And if you watch that first and then watch Beetlejuice, But it is fun to watch them in order, I'd say.
I think it's funny when you end up watching a movie just because you're too lazy to do your laundry or get off the couch. I might as well watch the sequel.
How'd you know?
I've been there on Sundays, you know. Bob Dennis is here. We're going to talk about mob movies.
Sure.
And I'd love to ask you after the news where you think the state of the mafia is in Wisconsin. These days, does it have teeth? Is it still there? We'll talk about all of that. Bob Dennis is in studio. So much fun talking about the things I talk about with Bob, and I'll read some more of your text too. That's coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right back to where it should have been. Cause now she's gone.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former President Trump tried comedy last night at a Catholic Charities event in New York City.
Trading the rally stage for the comedy spotlight. Former President Trump headlining the New York Archdiocese annual Al Smith fundraising dinner. Glad to be there voluntarily.
These days it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
And ribbing Vice President Harris, who didn't appear in person.
I understand the real reason that she's not here is she's hunting with her running mate, spending a lot of time hunting.
Harris instead spending the day in Wisconsin hunting for votes. Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
The Supreme Court of Texas put a stop to the execution of Robert Roberson for the shaken baby death of his two-year-old daughter in 2002. Critics say the conviction was based on flawed science. The Yonhap News Agency reports South Korea's spy agency finds North Korea will send troops to support Russia's war in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's unemployment rate is holding steady. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says the state's jobless rate was 2.9% in September. Wisconsin's labor force increased by 6,700 workers over the month. Wisconsin farmers are helping other farmers hit hard by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Farmers here in Wisconsin are delivering hay for animals in North Carolina and Tennessee. It started with a Northwoods window company who teamed up with a Merrill farmer to send 54 large bales of hay to North Carolina. So far now, 10 trucks from across the country have delivered hay to states impacted by the hurricanes. They're looking for more drivers to take down more hay, if you're interested. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the theater this weekend? Only a few films open in wide release, but two of them are re-releases. The first one is Back to the Future Part 2, starring Michael J. Fox. Many people think the second installment was better than the original and is much better than the third one. The film is being released in honor of its 35th anniversary. Another re-release hitting the screens this weekend is Hocus Pocus. The 1993 film stars Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. Although critics were lukewarm on it initially, it did very well with audiences and has great performances by its cast. If you're up for some scares, check out Smile 2, yet another horror film that is so far anyway critically acclaimed with an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you're lucky enough to live in a town where a theater is showing Goodrich, you can check out some good old-fashioned comedy drama starring Michael Keaton. The film is not yet reviewed, but could be the perfect recipe if you're tired of being freaked out all month. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny and still a little breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the upper 60s to near 70. Then by Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Waters. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
Thanks for bringing up my surgery again.
Speaking of that, Doug texts in. He says, can you put Gordy's surgery live on the air?
The surgeon told me he does one or two of these surgeries a week. So he's acting like, it's no big deal.
It's like going to the liquor store.
Once or twice a week? Yeah. Okay.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview.
And we'll be talking to Senate candidate Sarah Kieski.
Join us for our next show.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up on,
I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue.
Bridget from the 818 says, Eastern promises Viggo Mortensen. And she says, Viggo Mortensen is a great actor. He is a great actor, and he was in a film called The History of Violence. And I know, I remember, I saw that film, but I don't remember A Mob Connection, but I think he kind of is hiding out and has to do something violent, and then his kind of backstory unravels a little bit. But I have not seen Eastern Promises. Thank you, Bridget, for that. I will definitely check that out. Melinda in Sun Prairie says, ever see the dildo scene in Slums of Beverly Hills? One of my favorites for mob movies, Married to the Mob. Female mobsters, yes. I did see Married to the Mob. I feel like I saw Slums of Beverly Hills, but I don't remember that. I will say, Melinda, but thank you for the most controversial text of the night. It's great to hear from you. Anna says, Pete, please ask your guest what he thinks of the Mob Museum in Las Vegas. All right, we'll do that. I want to say real quick before we get back into it with Bob, that tomorrow night on the show we have Ron Helmick. He is a paranormal investigator from Racine. He's going to be here tomorrow night with actual audio of a ghost that he captured while paranormally investigating. So I'm too chicken to play the file he sent, because last night I got the email at like 12:30 at night. I was up alone. I'm like, I don't want to hear a ghost audio file right before I go to bed. So Conrad and I both decided we're going to listen to it tomorrow right before we go on the air, because neither one of us, we're both too freaked out to listen to it. So Ron will be here tomorrow. That's for Freaky Friday at 6:35. And then also it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 with great music and sparkling conversation like every week. From Terry. My guest is Bob Dennis. We're talking about the mob tonight, and Bob sort of inspired tonight's question, your favorite mob films. So we'll read some more texts in just a little bit, but I want to make sure we have a discussion here with Bob. What about that museum in Las Vegas, Bob?
It's fantastic.
Really?
If you get a chance, or if you go to Las Vegas, I mean, there's a lot of glitz and glamour and all the other kind of crazy stuff in Vegas, but if you get a chance to see the Mob Museum in Vegas, go. Because they have actual artifacts from people who were, you know, mobsters.
Like murder weapons,
yes.
And stuff like that?
Yes.
Wow,
actual,
really?
True Tommy guns and knives and whatnot. And and they'll show you some of the historical aspect to it. They'll tell you about the truth of what happened out there and how it began, how it was actually a crossroads in the desert.
Yeah.
Where they had just a couple small little buildings and a gas station when Bugsy Siegel went out there and said, this is where we're going to build it, you know, and...
And they thought he was crazy, right? Like when he tried to sell the New York mob
yes.
on it?
Yeah. Yes. Well, and where he got into trouble was he was skimming money along with his
girlfriend, right?
Yeah, I can't think of her name. I want to say Veronica Lake, but I don't think that's right. It's somebody else. And that's where he got into trouble. That's why they took him out. And right after they took him out, they just had this huge bonanza. I mean, Las Vegas just took off like crazy.
Isn't
and it was like
crazy?
Everyone's
wow.
like, let's go there. I was there in 1968. With my parents, and it was still very much the old
mob
Vegas.
Control.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%.
Right.
I mean, you went to a what was it called? The Golden
Sands?
Golden. It was a restaurant, Golden Cafe, Nugget? Golden Cow, something like that. Yeah. And you'd walk in there, and there'd be people like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra or other mafia people that were there. And you went in, and my dad loved that kind of stuff. He was like, "Oh yeah, we're going there." And then. We're there. My mom's like, yeah, Roy, I don't think we should be in here. This does not look a good place for the kids. You know,
so. Kids aren't going to get whacked.
Yeah. It's like, you know, just, they don't care. You know,
right.
it's a family thing. So
I love the story. And I don't maybe we talked about this last time you were here, where the Chicago mob had some kind of inside info about new regulations in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So they set up a deal with the New York mob and they said, you can have all the new hotels. We want these hotels. And it was the Stardust and some other places. Fully knowing that they weren't going to be able to control everything the way they could. So they that created some bad blood. But when I moved to L.A. in the 90s, I got to stay at the Stardust with my wife on our drive out there before about a year before they tore it down. Mm-hmm. And that was a great hotel that had a lot of mob history, I know, from the Chicago mob anyway. But so where is the state of the mob right now, Bob, in Wisconsin? I know in Milwaukee you had the Balestrieri's and there was a lot of organized crime here, maybe not like Chicago or New York or whatever, but there was definitely organized crime in Wisconsin. Where are things at now?
It's not the same in Wisconsin as it is in other places in the country. Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee, was never really known as a violent place. They were like a second level of mob and mafia and criminality. They did all the scamming, and they were huge into jukeboxes. It was a huge jukebox thing because anything that generated cash of any kind was always a huge thing for the mob, because they could then, you know, launder money.
Right.
And it sounds like you're thinking nickels and dimes and quarters, but it ends up being billions of dollars.
Right.
So, but they also were under the eye of Chicago.
Right.
They really didn't do anything without being first approved by, you know, the powers that be in Chicago, which is why they were able to continue to exist. And Frank Balestrieri was the man in charge for many, many, many years.
Right.
And you don't do that unless you got a good relationship with, you know, the big guys.
And it's probably, was it a little easier for like a mob organization to exist in Milwaukee? Because you have a Chicago, which is called, we talked about the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But they had probably more eyes on them from the federal government or law enforcement, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
Was it a little easier to exist in Milwaukee?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, there were the FBI in the time when they followed the Milwaukee mafia around, oftentimes it would follow them and have a report on something. And then after a while, like, yeah, this is nothing. But if you want to listen to a good podcast about the Milwaukee Mafia, it is called The Milwaukee Mafia. And Gavin Schmidt and Eric Waltkrenz. Mm. And wonderful. I'm giving them a plug.
Okay. There.
But it's absolutely wonderful because they go very in-depth in it. And nice. It gives you a lot of detail. Kind of a plug there. I'm sorry. But.
That's okay. No, I listen, I'm fascinated. I think I told you last time you were here, I read a whole bunch of books by Bill Romer, a former FBI agent who talks about the days when they finally got the go-ahead from J. Edgar Hoover to place bugs in these social clubs. And the stuff they found out was incredible. But so we've talked about that too before. The Chicago mob, as I understand it, what I've read is that was at one point the biggest criminal outfit in the history of the world because they controlled everything. New York was broken up into five families. Chicago controlled all of Chicago, everything west of the Mississippi because they had the Hollywood unions, and Vegas as well. Where is the state of the mob in places like Chicago and New York? You said it's a little more prominent outside of Wisconsin. How are those organizations?
They are all still strong.
Okay.
But the thing is that because you see more about international things going on, about the cartels and the drugs and whatnot, you don't hear as much about it. But there are still massive amounts of illegal things going on, everything from gambling to, I'm trying to think what else, obviously some drugs and alcohol. And the big thing that for a while, believe it or not, was cigarettes. Heisting or boosting semis full of cigarettes and just taking them out and selling them. And they sell them for quite a bit less because they didn't have to pay the taxes on them. And people turned around on the street and used them as well.
And didn't they control like the gambling machines and bars? And so I heard they made a lot of money doing that.
A lot of money on that as well.
Okay.
And of course they could fix them to make them hit or miss as often as they wanted. And that's true in Vegas as well, whether you realize it or not. They can fix them to make the slots loose or tight. And if business is not doing so well, they loosen them up. The other thing to know is that if you go to Vegas, you go to any of the different casinos, walk in there and stand, not too long because they get nervous when you stand too long, but stand beneath the speakers in the ceiling. And the speakers in the ceiling are feeding the sound of the machines paying out. You know, the ding, 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 ding. That sound is going through the speakers constantly. So even if the machine
sounds like
it sounds like people are winning. Yeah, but
oh wow,
they may not be. So
I love those tricks that they have in the casinos. I remember when I lived in L.A. and I would go do casinos around near Vegas or in like Needles, California, wherever they always have these roadside casinos. And my buddy Jimmy Pardo and I stayed there and gambled one night. I thought it was like 3 a.m. We walked out. It was like 7:30 a.m. No clocks.
Mm-hmm.
They pump pure oxygen into the places. So you have all this energy. Like they know all those tricks, don't they? Mm-hmm. To keep people there and emptying their pockets.
You just lose any grasp of reality that's right. going on. And when I was in Las Vegas a few times, some of the times for broadcast conventions. And believe it or not, a couple of times when we had to do basketball tournaments there, the Adidas 64 was there for the AAU championships.
Huh.
And I was there for that. The great part about it was that you could still smoke cigars. So you could go in and stand in the casinos and smoke cigars and just kind of watch what was going on. And it was amazing the amount of money people were plinking away there.
My guest is Bob Dennis. He is a mob aficionado, let's call you.
Sure.
He's a guy who knows a lot about the mob, and that's why he's on the show tonight. He has been gracious enough to come into the studio. The text line says, not sure, Mike Destel, not sure you want to be the pencil killer. Your nickname could be number two. I'd be okay with that. Dave on the text line says, Norm was great in the middle. I forgot Norm MacDonald was on the middle. Thank you for that, Dave. Dave says, I'm Lillerv, a little Irv. The Brews and Q's sounds fun. Dave, if you want tickets, let us know. We can set you up. Conrad will take your information, so let us know on the stream. Mike says, have Bob slide a little closer to you so we can see him better.
I am
what
hiding.
Kind of sick, perverted thing are you running there, Mike Desitel? Bob is here. You can see Bob. He's just, Mike's just your friend. He's trying to have
yes,
fun.
Yes, he's just... What are you doing there watching this? You, should, you yeah. know, you should be doing something productive.
Listen to the radio, yeah. Mike. Yeah. Oh, Mike's
Mike is a great guy.
Mike's a great guy. He connected us. He introduced us. So we owe Mike, Conrad, send Mike $10. He gets a taste.
Okay.
We're talking about the mob here. Do you have favorite mob movies, Bob?
Any of the contemporaries, I absolutely love. I mean, you know, there are so many things, and I need to say this before we forget. The Godfather, the first one. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I think it is on the Paramount Network, but it's called The Offer.
Oh, it's so great.
That is just fantastic. It's based in part on the book, Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli.
Oh, okay. Right.
And that is such a great show.
And that show is like, it's amazing how a show about the making of a movie or getting a movie made can be so intoxicating. It was so great. Miles Teller is great, and
yes.
The whole cast is great. I totally agree. That's a phenomenal
it's
watch.
Just, we were hooked on it. I mean, yeah. We couldn't wait for it to come out. It and now, recently, Al Pacino,
yeah.
His new book called Sonny Boy just came out on Tuesday, and he has been making the rounds and talking about all the different things that happened with him while
right.
making the movie, one of which was they were going to fire him.
Yeah.
And because they thought he was too laid back and didn't have the, you know, the bones to do the job. And Coppola was told, listen, this he might be a good theater guy, but he's a lousy movie guy, and was worried about it because so many of his friends had said, listen, this is the kid. And so they changed the order of the filming of The Godfather. And they went from his first scene, which was actually filmed in the hospital where he's with Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
After Brando's been shot. That was the first, first scene he ever shot.
Really?
And he said he was scared to death because it was Marlon Brando. And then things weren't going so well, so Coppola switched up the film and had the shot of the restaurant scene.
Yeah.
And one of the things they did, if you watch, is when he goes into the bathroom to get the gun from behind the tank, they didn't put the gun where it was supposed to be.
I think I read this, yes.
Put it in a different spot so that he actually would be a little panicked.
That's
looking for this gun. So you're watching that scene. When you realize that, you realize, oh, he is getting kind of nervous. So
I remember that and noticing that the first time I saw it. Because you remember they planted the gun there, and then Pacino goes in to look for it. And they showed what I read something very similar to what you just said. The studio wanted Robert Redford to play Michael Corleone. And I was like, he's a great actor, but come on. Now that you've done it. And Al Pacino, God love him, said in that memoir, an excerpt I read was that he and Diane Keaton were laughing between takes at the wedding, shooting the wedding, the opening scene, and they thought they were in the worst movie and they were ruining their careers.
It
just goes to show
amazing?
You.
Isn't that amazing? Also, I know you're going to have to go to a break, but the scene with Lenny Montana, Luca Brasi.
Oh, yeah.
That was an accidental scene. They were filming Diane Keaton and Pacino. And he was in the background practicing his line. He truly was practicing. That was, Lenny Montana was a wrestler and an enforcer for the mafia at one point.
Huh.
And he was truly practicing that scene. So Coppola did a quick pinch on it to be able to get that video of him and then actually used it in the movie. He recut everything to make it fit.
It's funny because I think that scene where he's with Marlon Brando, that whole sequence is lit so beautifully. It's such an isolation desperate scene. I love that, and I can't believe the studio would have had to see the other scene, which was great too, but it's like, if you don't see, you have a great actor at that point.
Yeah.
All right, Bob Dennis is here. We'll have more mob talk and mob movie talk coming up. Bob's going to help me close out the show here. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night edition of Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight, tonight, I'm so brave. Tonight.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so glass. It's like... It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The John and Gordy Show.
You know, if they say or do anything out of step with Trump, they're in deep trouble. People were already thinking and acting as if they were living under an authoritarian regime. We are all just a little afraid, not you and me, because we're, you know, ignorantly ballsy. And okay. we'll be arrested and, you know, hauled off into a camp.
We'll be right in the first group.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are back. We've got a few more minutes here with Bob Dennis, our resident mob guru, mob expert, mob aficionado. He is not in the mob. I want to make that very clear, ladies and gentlemen, so the law enforcement pulling up outside can back off. Bob, you have a podcast gathering happening soon you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yes, actually.
Tell us about that.
Thank you for letting me bring this
sure.
up. It's called A Little Something for Everyone. It's a live podcasting experience. It's going to be held in Appleton. Can I say the name of the establishment?
Yeah.
It's McFleshman's, which is just off College Avenue in Appleton, on the second floor in the Prohibition Room.
Oh, I love it.
And there will be multiple people who are there. Bobby and Allison Fleshman do the, it's a bar, not a bar, but they do a podcast called Respecting the Beer. And they will be doing that. Gary Arndt will be there doing his Everything Everywhere Daily. Jess Hesley will be there with her meditation well. I'll be there for Mob and Mafia News. Eric Walterkins and Gavin will be there for the Fox City's Murder and Mayhem, as well as their Mob and Mafia or Milwaukee Mafia. And it's a chance for people to find out about podcasting and what they can do. And it's really very simple, very easy. I mean, it's very, there's nothing to it. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can.
You know what I think we need are more podcasts. I don't think there are nearly enough podcasts out there. I can't keep up. Every time somebody suggests a podcast, it just goes in one ear and out the other, unless it really grabs me, because there's just so many, and there's a lot of good ones too. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you keep up with it, you know.
I listen in the car when I go from point to point.
Now, right.
Granted, you know, there's the old saying in Green Bay, if you're gone more than 10 minutes, you're out of town. But you know, so I'm trying to listen to as many as I can, and I do. I enjoy them, but I have to have an agenda to listen, because if I don't, I'll miss out on them. There's also there's one that is not a Green Bay one, and that is Tim Dennis, who is yes related. Has the Darkness Radio, which is also about paranormal things and all that kind of creepy stuff. And that I kind of try to avoid, because I'm kind of a chicken.
Okay.
So, but it actually, I've actually listened. It is a wonderful podcast. So.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, you know, there's a lot I wanted to get with you, your experiences, you know, with Hollywood when you were younger sound interesting too, but we're just going to have you back sooner, I guess, because I don't think we'll have time for that. But I do want to ask you, who to you is the most intriguing mafia character in American history?
It's going to be hard to believe, but it's a guy named Arnold Rothstein.
Okay.
Arnold Rothstein was a genius. Okay. He wasn't, he didn't have a group of people who followed him, but everybody dealt with him in New York. You couldn't do anything without Arnold Rothstein having a hand in it financially, intellectually, helping everybody in New York and all the different families to facilitate and keep everybody from killing each other. And he basically kept things together. He ended up having a tragic end, as oftentimes they do, because he had overextended himself. And they said, yeah, you got to pay this back. He didn't have the money. He was very close to a big payout. They killed him. 2 days later, it hit big time, and there was like millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was dead.
Was he an accountant?
He was just a math genius. A lot of these guys never had education, never went,
right.
Never did anything. Capone was another one who was a mathematical genius.
Really?
And an organizational genius.
Huh.
And just an amazing kind of thing. These guys, and you say, well, why couldn't they do something else and, you know, get a real job and do that? I mean, really? Sit behind
a desk? They didn't want that.
Who wants to sit behind a desk?
Right. You know, I mean, it's like that line in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta is narrating and he says, we saw these people going to work and sitting in their cars. We thought they were suckers. We thought they had no... I don't even know if I can say the word, but one more question for you, Bob. Who's the most powerful gangster in American history?
Oh, absolutely ever would have been Al Capone.
Okay.
He controlled everything. He was a psychopath.
Right.
He was both probably the most generous man people knew as far as community, giving people money, giving them food, facilitating their homes. But if you messed with him, you were dead. And he basically ran everything from Chicago out to California until he was cornered. And when he was cornered and captured, it wasn't by the police. It was by an accountant.
Right. How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
I think it's interesting, too. We talked a little bit during the break about the North Side and South Side gangs in Chicago. The South Side were the Italians and the North Side were the Irish. And they coexisted well until Bugs Moran's outfit or Oral Banion's outfit got too greedy.
Yep.
And that's how the St. Valentine's Day Massacre went down. That was their retribution or their payback for being greedy. And I remember this, I can't remember where I read it. There was a shootout and Bugs Moran had his gun pointed at Al Capone, who was on the street and had been shot in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to him. I can't remember. And he shot and he was out of bullets.
Yeah.
That would have ended Al Capone and the North Side gang. The Irish gang would have continued. That is an incredible bit of history, how it just turned.
It just, you know, it misfired and it didn't work. And it was like, okay, that was actually shortly before the St. Valentine's Massacre. And it was right around the time that they killed O'Banion.
Okay.
And yes, this is just fascinating. But you have a connection to the St. Valentine's Day.
I do. My cousin, Peach Wabba, God rest his soul, just passed away a couple weeks ago, and he was a great guy. His grandfather, my great-grandfather, who Pete was named after, Peter Hyacinth Schwabba, was the judge who set the bail for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre shooters. And he was shot at one point, too, leaving the courthouse with his boss in Chicago.
Wow.
And originally from Stevens Point, the Stevens Point Schwabas. I didn't even know, you know, that side of my family doesn't talk much. I got the Irish side, who never stops talking, and then I've got the Polish-German side, who are very quiet. We didn't even know that that was a thing that he set the bail for the shooters until about 5 years ago in this family history. I'm like, that's a cool thing to talk about. You can mention that. It's not bragging if you really did it. Hey, Bob, this has been fun. Let's do it again soon. And I'd like to thank Eric Hulse from Colonel Popcorn. Check out their operation. You can order it through the mail. Great holiday gift. Thank you for all your texts. And thank you to Bob Dennis. Always
thank
fun to
you
have
for
you
having
here, buddy.
Me here. It's fun.
So much fun. And thank you to the lovable producer, Conrad.
You're welcome.
What a terrific guy.
Who was it, Jack Lemmon you wanted to say
yes,
one more time?
Jack Lemmon.
Okay. Jack Lemmon, a man of few words. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. It's a Freaky Friday and Bar Band Friday night. We got a lot going on tomorrow night, folks. Hope you can make it. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming soon to the Overture Center, Late Night Catechism.
Some rulers lead by example. Others lead with a ruler. I am a Roman general. All right, all you village people, sit up in your seat, will you please?
Late Night Catechism.
Are you putting on lipstick in my class?
Attendance is mandatory.
I'm wearing 30 pounds of gabardine here, huh?
Come for the laughs.
Don't miss Late Night Catechism at the Overture Center.
Get your tickets today at tickets.overture.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.